Welcome one another. As we begin, I would invite you to join me in prayer. Loving God, thank you for being here. Thank you for preparing us, our hearts, our minds today to hear and take in what you have provided for us. God, I ask that you would direct the words, that they would flow as you see fit, that they would be heard by each one as individually we need to hear your message. God, I just thank you for your absolute love and the peace that we can have that comes from you. In Jesus' name, amen. This section of Romans, a little background, was written probably 57, 58 A.D. Paul wrote it from Corinth to the churches in Rome. And in all likelihood, the churches in Rome were house churches. They didn't have a formal large structure to meet in. They probably had pockets of house churches around. The thing that the commentaries and others that looked at and talked about, don't know if that was Jews and Gentiles meeting together in a house or if it was a Gentile house and a Jewish house. We don't know. But we certainly know that those people were both touched, those people groups of the Gentiles and the Jews. This message was going out to them. Today's Advent theme is peace, as we've already experienced with the candle lighting. We celebrate the peace already introduced by the Father in Jesus, as recorded for us in the Gospels. So this peace is already here. We look forward in hope, anticipating Jesus' return and the fulfillment of the new creation, where peace will fill the earth and be the way of life between all peoples. We participate in his peace, found only in Christ. That's where peace comes from. I want you for a moment, don't drift off too far on me, but imagine what peace on earth could look like in the kingdom of God. No disasters, no natural weather disasters. People get along and they welcome one another. That's what it maybe looked like. Now, imagine with all your might, what might living in his peace be like? Would your day be different? Would your week be different? Would there be times of stress? Would you wake up in the night hurting or worrying or who knows? None of that will be there. In what ways can we be a witness to a fragmented world that Jesus is the source of all true and lasting peace? Think about how you can share that. It is only in receiving. You can't go get it. You can't buy it. But you can only receive the peace he has for us, that we can live out that peace in our relationships one with another. So it's something that you can't take, you can't go get, but you can receive. We become peacemakers in the world, not by our strength. You can't be a peacemaker on your own. But in the power of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus, who is peace, that's where it comes from. That's who we receive it from. To welcome one another is another way of saying to live in peace with each other or to live in unity. Our title, Welcome One Another, live in peace with each other, live in unity. God commands are grounded in God's revelation of who he is. As we read it, we can tell, we can know where it comes from. We cannot achieve peace by our own. Look around the world. Has man achieved peace anywhere on earth that lasts? Maybe they get a half hour a day, but it does not last. True peace is received as a gift of grace. That's where it comes from. You receive this peace because of the grace that Jesus Christ is giving it to us. Today's text, as you heard earlier, is from Romans 15, 4 through 13. We're going to hit some high points. Verse 4, for whatever was written in former days, where would they have looked at to achieve what was written in former days? These were the Old Testament scriptures. This is where they were looking at. They didn't have any New Testament. They didn't have anything to reflect on except what was in the Old Testament. So whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, and every generation along for our instruction, that through endurance, perseverance, steadfast, and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Kind of putting it in today's vernacular, hang in there. That's essentially what the message comes out is. Just hang in there. It's there. Paul looks back to see what God has already told us in the scriptures from the Old Testament. So there's a reference there for us that we know started in the Old Testament and continues on. Paul is saying all scripture was written for our instruction. So there's not any piece of that that doesn't apply. God meets us personally within the pages of the Bible. In reading scripture, have you ever felt that God was speaking directly to you as you were reading something? And you go, I've read this for years, and it never hit me the way it did right now. And in your heart, you know that God is speaking directly to you. In verse 5, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus. Living in peace and harmony could be love one another. True friendship. That's the peace. That's the encouragement. That's a relational aspect of what he's talking about. In verse 6, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give honor to. Live our lives glorifying God. That's what it is. It's not shining a light on who we are or shining a light on how much we love and relationship with others. It's letting God's light shine through us, but it all goes back to him. It all reflects on him. He is not presenting a peace as an ideal to work towards, but rather a reality to achieve. None of us present peace perfectly, but that's the goal. That's the goal, to share, to love one another, to have that true friendship. This life of unity is a gift given to us in Jesus. Do you feel like you've possessed this gift, that you've received this gift? Some days probably better than others. This peace lived out in the church then does not become a sign that points to the church. Living that loving true friendship, loving of one another, is not intended to reflect on the church, but rather a sign that points others to Jesus. Isn't that the better alternative? When someone feels so welcome and they feel so engaged and the relationship is so good, and we can very openly say, Thank you, Jesus. That's where it comes from. God is the one that gets the glory. Verse 7, therefore, welcome one another. Again, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Welcome one another. As we see the Father's welcome of us in Jesus, we are able to more fully participate in this reality by welcoming one another. The more that you receive this and let it flow out, the more it goes back to Jesus, and he can welcome more and more and more. And that's part of what this Advent season is about, is welcoming of Jesus and what that means. It is not a pleasant experience to be in a place where you are not welcomed. Has anybody ever been somewhere where they didn't feel welcomed? It's not a pleasant experience. You feel like maybe you're on the outs. You're not engaged. You're not included. You are not welcomed. That's a tough spot. We know that in Christ there is no condemnation towards us from Romans 8:1. We can be welcoming to one another even in that situation when we are not welcomed. We don't have to spin it backwards or be the opposite. We can be welcoming to others, even if they don't at that point accept it. You're letting Christ shine through you in that moment. We welcome others into the welcome of Christ, where they too can lay down all that keeps them from living in the freedom and peace of the Lord Jesus. Maybe in that moment, there's no change from somebody. But if you are consistent in welcoming, sooner or later, they realize something's different. That you keep showing up and you keep extending love and you are presenting true friendship. That's what Jesus wants us to do. Verse 8, for I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised. Circumcision was a covenant that was made. If you insert the word, for I tell you that Christ became a servant to the covenant to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And that's from Psalms 18, verse 49. When it talks about the promises given to the patriarchs, that's grace. He gave grace. He extended grace. Verse 10, and again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all. And I want you to think about that word all. Gentiles, Jews, it doesn't matter. All is all. All peoples. To let all peoples extol him. This is who Jesus is talking about. This is the Spirit that's moving. God the Father is engaged with us. All people. This is going to be off course just a little bit, but I read this morning. I don't know if you followed the events of a 7-year-old girl that was abducted in Texas. A delivery person abducted her and allegedly killed her. The father posted, and I read it late last night, his pouring out of his feelings. He said, my flesh body wants to be in a room with him for just a few minutes. My flesh body wants to take him down. But the spirit in me says, forgive. The spirit in me says God's grace is bigger. It's a very moving segment of the reality of untold drama to really untold extension of grace. All within this two or three paragraph response. Praise the Lord, all the people. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come. That's Jesus Christ. Even Jesus who arises to rule the Gentiles, in Jesus will the Gentiles hope. Everything comes through Jesus. And we've read that many times in many scriptures. That section is from Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 9. As we live our life, as we let peace permeate our world, God has intended from the beginning to bring us into his life of wholeness and peace. Imagine what that world will look like. Peace everywhere. In the weather, in the people around it, in the animals. You know, years ago, we can remember the emblem of the old church of the lion and the lamb together. That's peace. That's what he has done in Jesus Christ. And that is the hope we have for the future. As we look around our world today, and there is no peace, but we have hope. We know it's coming. We know it's here right now in us. And we have the opportunity to let it flow through us. Verse 13 is a benediction that he closes the section with. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Abound, that you may overflow in hope. It pours out of you. There are no walls that hold it in. You let it go. Hope gives joy and peace. As we trust in him, may we experience the peace grounded in the reality of reconciliation of all things, forged in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peace. And when things are not peaceful in your world, know that God is there with you. From the Bible Club message that I had the privilege of sharing with, trust God's plan. That was the words to share this week. Upwards, whatever they, you know, the term, but the phrase. And hold that in your mind. Trust God's plan. His plan is being laid out before us right now in the Advent season, coming up to the birth of Jesus. We live at an incredible time in history. Things happening fast and furious. With technology, we're fully aware of things within minutes of it happening from all over the world. That's never been the case. Most of the things you hear is not peaceful. Peace is here. It resides and flows through each one through the Spirit of Jesus Christ. As we come to the Lord's Supper, the communion, I want to read something. Reminds us of Jesus' return. Jesus said he would not drink from the fruit of the vine again until he came in the fullness of the kingdom. It means he said he wouldn't drink it again. That means, but he will drink it at some point because he's coming again. This comes from Matthew 26:29 and Luke 22:18, Mark 14:25. Whenever we participate, we are reminded of Jesus' promise. As you come and as you share in communion, do you look at that as a promise from Jesus? There will be a great messianic banquet. Can you imagine what that's going to be like in the future? This huge banquet, the wedding supper of celebration. The bread and wine are miniature rehearsals of what will be the greatest victory celebration in all history. Paul wrote that whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. It doesn't say if he comes. It says until he comes. Again, there's a promise that he's coming. 1 Corinthians 11:26. We know that he will come again because he said so. And he is truth. And he shares love and peace. As we celebrate the second week of Advent, trust the peace that Jesus is flowing and pouring into you through the Holy Spirit. As you come up and participate and receive communion, thank God, thank Jesus for the promise that he has given us and the blessing of these elements that he gave willingly. You would join me in prayer. Loving God, again, we are so blessed. And it's so easy to get caught up in the events of the world around us. And certainly there's not a lot of peace in the world around us. But as we celebrate this second week of Advent, God, we look to you to pour that peace in and through us. Let us be welcoming to others as you love and welcome them. God, as we partake of the bread and the fruit of the vine, we ask for your blessing upon it. And God, that you would just provide what each one of us needs. That you would just hold us. And God, that we can just love you and experience your wonderful grace. In Jesus' name, amen. As you feel led, come and participate in this wonderful experience of sharing and receiving the body and blood of Jesus in symbol.
Father, thank you that we could meet together in peace. You are peace. Jesus came with a message of peace, and be with us as we leave this worship and guide us to be peacemakers for Jesus. Wherever we go and whoever we meet, be with us and guide us as we share your message of peace. We are your servants. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11, it's about peace. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. So, peace to you and peace to all this week. Have a good week.